We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, from the Jordy Collada podcast. Jordy does a great job covering LSU. Jordy Collada himself. So, Jordy, thanks so much for joining us, bud.
Charlie and Mike, it's good to be here, man. Thanks for having me back.
Jordy, right off the bat, Charlie and I talked about this earlier, but, you know, when you're successful in doing stuff, you're going to have a lot of people kind of looking at you. And it doesn't matter if it's sports or politics, business world, medical world, you name it, if you're a top lawyer, whatever, everybody comes a-looking for a story. And sometimes personalities kind of give you a longer antenna to catch it. I think we're seeing this with the Washington Post, and we haven't seen the story yet on Kim Mulkey, but I think Kim's reaction Saturday sort of told you a little bit about, I think she knows a little bit more about the story than she has led on to be. It's natural that if you're given a set of questions, you sort of know where you're going with this. Your thoughts on this, because in the world we live in today, I had a former NFL coach who lived next to me for over 30 years. He was like, Mike, they don't want to know some of the stories I knew throughout the years with some of the personalities. Some of them I got along with well, some of them I didn't. Some players I coached, I got along with well, some I didn't. It's the nature of the business. And now we can say that about just about anything. They want to know your politics. They want to know your social views, everything about you, and you become a lightning rod. Kim's become that.
Well, yeah, Mike, kind of further on your point, I think you spend an extended amount of time in any industry, it's going to be easy, or not necessarily easy, but, you know, the ability to find people who may not have enjoyed their experiences right with you, you know, becomes greater by the time you spent. Kim's been in coaching for 35 years. She's had a lot of success through that time. She's garnered a lot of attention. But to me, this thing really kicked up 4 years ago when she made the comment about the vaccine. And Mike, for whatever reason, our world has become so politicized.
Yep.
Everything is politics. Everything goes back to red versus blue, right versus left. It's and for Mulkey, to me, she was at Baylor when she made those comments, and you could sense the Q rating, the feeling, the vibe on her start to switch. And now, since she's been over at LSU the last 3 years, I mean, look. At her introductory press conference, she looked directly into the eyes of John Bel Edwards and took her mask and threw it up in the air and said, I don't do this. I don't wear masks. She knows by making those comments that that's going to bring some attention to her. I think that has been, you know, one of a few examples that has really, you know, given some fuel to people who may not agree with her. That's what I anticipate the piece to be about. I'm like you. I don't know what's in it, but I could assume and take a couple of swipes of what's going to be in there and imagine they would be. But, you know, I think, you know, Kim is a little tired of the anonymous media. You know, there's going to be, I'd imagine, some anonymous sources within this piece. And I think you saw the reaction to that. But, to be honest, I thought she handled it as well as she could have. She made a statement on Friday, and she was She was past it on Sunday and on to the Sweet 16.
She have a lot of people reading that Washington Post. I know yeah. Washington Post ought to send us some gratuity off of that because
that's right.
when that's going to come out of that. But, Jordy, I wondered a little bit. I was talking to Justin Payne, the Nicholls State women's basketball coach, and wondering, because once this broke with Pat Forte sort of putting a little piece out, well, wait, something's fixing to go down pretty soon in Baton Rouge. I wondered how big of a distraction that would be to the team. And then yesterday, it wasn't a great first half, but, man, that's taken away from Middle Tennessee, who's not a bad team. You know, they gave it everything. Now, LSU squashed them from midway into the third quarter on. But just to look at it, and he made the comment to you, I think Middle Tennessee might give them some issues because they're a really good three-point shooting team. They're physical. They run the court well. But he said they're not real deep. He was 100% right on that. Once they started to get in foul trouble, you could see there was some issues. But the part about distraction, if it was a problem, it was a slight one.
No, I agree. And I figured that they would have their coaches back yesterday after Mulkey's comments in the press following Friday's win. And, you know, Mike, to me, that's the sign and definition of a good coach. You got three, really four personalities when you throw – you know, Flauge, Michaela Williams, Angel Reese, and Haley Van Lith into the pot. I mean, that's four different and outlying of personalities and players that you can find in an NIL world. And, you know, for Mulkey to still be as long in the game as she is, to experience the success that she has and still be able to motivate, relate, communicate, and teach those types of players and personality, I think that goes into a long line of compliments to where she is on the trade. And, you know, Middle Tennessee, you could sense it after the game on Friday versus Rice that Mulkey and her staff were going to have their hands full with Middle Tennessee. And, you know, you mentioned it, the lack of depth was really kind of the death of the Raiders. But, you know, I thought LSU really attacked them well, especially in the second half.
Yes.
Flauge's really been the heartbeat of this team for the last couple of weeks, and I thought it was on full display yesterday. She hit a couple of runners into the lane and got to the free throw line and then hit an enormous three-pointer in front of a packed house that really shifted the momentum and put it on LSU's side. So, you know, these are some really nice tests here in postseason play. You know, even going back to the SEC tournament of that championship game versus South Carolina to the opening round game versus Rice to yesterday's action versus Middle Tennessee, you know, getting them ready to whoever wins between UCLA and Creighton and, you know, taking care of business there, a possible matchup with Iowa and Caitlin Clark. I think this team will be battle tested when they get to their next stops. And, you know, a lot like Middle Tennessee battling the depth problems, I think LSU is really trying to fight through and find their way through those issues here, getting into some, you know, some street fights. I mean, that game yesterday was a brawl. And for LSU to run away with it like they did at the end of it, I thought was a really good sign.
LSU football practicing, kick back off again on Saturday, a little scrimmage. The thing I took out of that is a guy I saw, man, he was in high school, really good basketball player. Very good football player from Thibodaux High School, Kyron Lacy. Yeah, I think he's starting to step up, Jordy. It took him a little while, and I think he lost a little bit of confidence in his hands. But now, all of a sudden, now we see him making a bunch of big plays. And I've always thought he attacked the ball well. Sometimes he'll take a peek downfield to run with it before he catches it, and that's a bad habit. He got a break. But, man, they might have another legitimate one there in Kyron Lacy.
He's been flashy, Mike. He's had his moments, but at times, like you said, I mean, he's been inconsistent. But what a point of view for now the senior and Lacy to sit back and have a chance to look at guys like Kayshawn Booty to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas to guys that have transferred in to newcomers that have shown up. And now, like you said, I agree, it's his time. He's gone through – and really paid his dues, and now it's here for him to step in and take a number one role on an SEC team that's turning over the best, you know, the best offense in college football last season. He's the guy that's, you know, in line to take that step. And, he's had a really strong spring. You talk to Cortez Hankton and Frank Wilson and some of the offensive guys, and they absolutely love him. You know, he's really embraced the leadership part of it from, you know, doing some of the stuff off the field that the young guys are taking notice of and being a, you know, a leader by example rather than being, you know, just a big rah-rah guy that, you know, he's got that big personality and so easy to get along with, very, you know, easy to talk to and vibe with. It's just, you know, now he's putting in that work that Neighbors and Thomas and, you know, these first round picks he's seen up close to and seeing it pay off and understands the opportunity that he has. I think him and Nussmeier have got a really good piece of chemistry that they've had in working in practices and now taking it to Saturdays. I'm like you. I expect Lacy to really bust out this year and take that role. LSU's always got that dominant one. You know, they've always got that dominant guy, whether it's, you know, you're picking from a pack of them, but they've got that name that you always want to grab a hold to. And I think Kyron Lacy has a chance to be that guy offensively for LSU come this fall.
Jordy, hopping over to the Diamond, a 2-4 start for the Tigers in SEC play. I mean, that game on Saturday, Mike and I talked a little bit about it, was just brutal. You were one out away from a series victory over a top six ranked Florida bunch, and it's just really tough. And then you get run ruled for the second straight Sunday. Looking a little bit ahead, you have Southeastern tomorrow night, a team that you really struggled with in Hammond, but you pulled out a victory there. They're a really good squad as well, 7-7 this season. And then you travel to a huge series against the number one team in the country in Fayetteville against Arkansas. And what is likely the best weekend rotation pitching staff in all the country. So for a team that doesn't have much confidence right now, it doesn't get any easier, but they have to figure out a way to find it. What are your thoughts on this week with Southeastern Louisiana and then Arkansas this weekend?
Well, look, I mean, it's been rough the past two weekends for LSU as far as Sundays go. And I'm with you. You know, I mean, you go back to that Saturday night game to get that strikeout and not be able to execute the throw out at first base and then end up losing the game in extras is gut-wrenching. That is as brutal of a loss as you can have in the SEC, especially when you're talking about the series being on the line. But either way, LSU's got an issue on Sundays. And for them to be run ruled 2 weeks in a row, that's just not supposed to happen. It can't happen. And you could see it in Jay Johnson's face. I think that, you know, his getting ejected from that game yesterday was hoping to infuse a little bit of life into the squad. And he said it in the postgame press conference. It backfired on him. It didn't do the things that he wanted it to do. And that may be more concerning than the lack of offense. But, you know, Arkansas on the doorstep here for this weekend and going on the road, it's not ideal, obviously. But I still believe that this team is talented enough to compete at the highest level of the SEC. And, you know, something like this is maybe something that you need. You know, you go and you have a number one team in the country that's going to have everybody's attention, obviously, going into the matchup. And like I said, I believe in Jay Johnson. We talk a lot of football when I'm around Mike Dettillier and when talking about football. I know Lane Kiffin's offense is going to produce. I know Sean Payton's offense is going to produce in football. I feel the same way about Jay Johnson's offense in baseball. I just think that he's too much of an obsessive offensive coach. He puts too much time and energy and resources into recruiting offensive players. He's the offensive coordinator of the team. I just expect him to get this right at some point. It's not ideal to get it right against the best pitching staff and maybe the top ace in America, but this lineup is talented enough to go into an environment like that and compete. And like I said, maybe this is something that they may need to get away from home and, you know, really get on the road and know that you gotta go in there and play for 36 innings or you have a chance of getting embarrassed. So I know that they have some things going on right now that they want to fix and get right. And I know that Jay Johnson, you know, is the guy that's going to figure that out. I still believe that this team is a possible top eight seed and, you know, has some postseason run in them.
The pieces are there, right, Jordy? I mean, if you're looking at what D1 baseball has thought about this team, you lose 2-3 to Florida, but they know that game two was such a swing game and they very well could have easily won that series. So they didn't drop them too far. They only dropped them to number 8 in the most recent poll. But at some point, you got to start producing. And I think that the offense has been an issue. It's been inconsistent at best. We've talked to a couple different listeners about it, a couple different reporters about it. And like inconsistency, the best word you could really give them. There are times where they just shut down. And we got a question from a listener, and I kind of gave my response. There needs to be some kind of a shakeup in the lineup. I know that Jay's played a bunch of different players early on in the season, but now you're in SEC play. You really have to find those pieces that are going to get you these wins and get you past like the 15 to 17 win mark in SEC play after a slow 2-4 start. I mean, Jay Johnson has to start experimenting, but he has to find the right pieces. And a couple of those, you know, heading into the season, I think one of the biggest keys was going to be the development of some of those sophomore players like Brady Neal and Paxton Kling and Jared Jones. Jones, we've seen the long ball been his strength all season long. Kling and Neal have been not too great, let's just say that. And I don't really want to call out any players by name, but something's got to change in this lineup, and Jay's really got to find the pieces that can get him to those SEC wins because they just haven't been there so far.
No, I agree with you. I think when you look at the Kling Brady Neal combo of that sophomore class, you really needed Kling to take that next step. You know, Brady Neal's had some high highs. He's just had some low lows as well here early on. I expect him to median out here, you know, at some point. He's too good of a hitter that he won't figure it out. Paxton Kling looks lost up there. You know, you almost feel bad for him in the sense of he just doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't seem like he's got his bearings to him. And, you know, right now he's just kind of battling some demons up there at the plate. And, you know, you feel like LSU's got to have him right because defensively he gives you so much. But you see how Jay Johnson continues to tinker with it, right? I mean, he sat Monster Milam yesterday. He had Jake Brown in the lineup over the weekend. It looks like he, you know, got banged up. He's constantly rotating his catchers. He's got Neal playing in the outfield. I'm with you. You know, I mean, I do believe he needs to have some things that shake up. I think that he understands that. I think he's trying to do that. I think he has, you know, pulled the trigger on that, and he'll continue to do it until he finds his best nine. But yeah, look, it's frustrating right now because you know they have the talent. You're just kind of waiting on them to walk through the door.
Jordy, thanks so much for joining us. One thing I can tell you, LSU gives us coverage 12 months out of the year.
How about that, huh?
365, baby. So you're in business that way. Tell everybody how they can catch you, Jordy.
Well, I appreciate it, Mike. And look, Pro Day's coming up later this week. There'll be a lot of NFL scouts and a lot of people in your trade and industry that'll be coming down to Baton Rouge to see what's going on with some prospects. You can hear us talking about it on our show, which is 7 to 9 a.m. on the New Orleans Football Radio, on the New Orleans Football Digital Network on YouTube, and 7 to 9 a.m. But the easiest way to find us is on social media. Whatever social media platform you're on, just search us at Colada Show, and you can keep up with all the content.
Jordy, get us a couple more interior defensive linemen.
Yeah, how
can.
About that spring transfer portal?
Yeah, we got to get that growing, baby.
Bo Davis will be scooping them up here in this next transfer portal.
I suspect. Thank you, Jordy. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Mike. See you guys.
All right.
Thanks, Jordy.
Jordy Collada from the Jordy Collada podcast does a great job covering LSU sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.